Barrow in Furness, Cumbria. May 2020.
It was during COVID time, Barrow. It was a literal definition of a ghost town. Everyone was on social media. I had Ellie on Facebook and it popped up on my timeline.
I think this is the hardest post I'm ever going to write. Yesterday, I was put into the back of a car, taken to an address to have sex with three Asian men. Afterwards, I was beaten to teach me a lesson.
I felt sick, I felt shocked and panicked.
This has been years of me being trafficked. This is to have sex with Asian men.
The pictures in general, it was almost as if like you'd watch a horror film.
They have broken my ribs, many bones in my face, cut my throat, attempted to cut my boobs and my nipples off.
I was watching all the shares go up and all the comments and the likes. It was like a domino effect.
Stay strong, she was trafficked, she was raped, she was tortured.
Reading that post and not knowing anything else, it was appalling, it was shocking. But it was one side of the story.
Within an hour of the post, the police make an arrest, but instead of the men Ellie accused...
So you're under arrest in relation to charges of perverting the course of justice.
It is Ellie who is arrested. Body cam footage of Ellie being put into the back of a police van.
I was angry for her. The people who hurt her needed to be where she was.
From there, it massively snowballed and the hatred for the police came. And it did, it totally rocked the town.
Justice for Ellie Williams! Look at the photos of Ellie Williams! Smashed up and battered!
We had protests outside the police station. Justice for Ellie signs everywhere.
People were meeting up and marching, you know, against Asian grooming gangs.
And associating every Asian person as being part of that.
They're literally coming down this road, honking their horns, giving abuse.
Nonce, paedophile, death threats were coming.
There's so many victims. It's really important that people finally know the truth.
Ellie's badly bruised and beaten face. Liar, the fake grooming scandal. A golden sun hangs on the horizon, casting treetops and a pylon in silhouette. Daytime. Terraced housing by an estuary. The date, May 2020, in turquoise neon lettering, cycles back to November 2017. 16-year-old Ellie Williams makes a complaint to the police. DC Claire Ritchie interviews Ellie at 1:22 p.m. on the 22nd of November.
Right, so the lifts are on now and we're recording, so we need to do a little bit...
I'm a specialist officer in interviewing techniques for victims of domestic abuse, violence, sexual offences, child sexual offences.
Can you tell me your full name?
My name's Eleanor Williams.
With Ellie, she was worried about sexual health, that she believed she'd been raped. She looked really young, almost mothering her and wanting to, you know, to support her and care for her and make sure that the process she was going through, she was as well supported as she could be.
Right, I know you're 16, nearly 17, but I need to know that you know the difference between the truth and the lie. So I'll tell you a little tale. So there's a boy in the house playing football. Mum says, don't play football. Mum goes out of the room. He kicks the ball and smashes the window. Mum comes back in and said, did you break that window? And the boy said, no. So did that boy lie or tell the truth?
He lied.
He lied. Okay, so I now know that you know the difference between the truth and the lie.
I always say to people that you can tell me anything. Nothing will shock me, nothing will embarrass me, and there probably won't be anything I haven't heard before, but what's really important is everything that they tell me in that room is the truth.
Ellie says, I wasn't going to go out, but I put on Snapchat that I'd finished work early and got a message off one of my mates.
She'd gone to this house party where I think a few people were, we'd all been drinking. I think there's a bit of cannabis and things smoked.
DC Ritchie asks, so what happened after then?
We went into his room and we had a
shot of vodka each. And then he was like, oh, you owe me. You owe me for that. I was leaning against the wall and he started kissing my neck and chest and stuff. I said to him that I needed the toilet just to get away. He dragged me back by my hair onto the floor. Cameron had sat on top of my lap. He's pulled my dress down because it was an off-the-shoulder dress. And he took my bra down. They were all laughing at me, saying my tits were ugly. And then I couldn't move. I couldn't see anything, but I could hear everything that was going on around me. It was horrible. I thought I was going to die. Sitting forward with one leg over the other, Ellie fiddles with her fingers.
Horrendous. It's a young girl, similar age to my daughter. To be so vulnerable and young and intoxicated at the time. And then the next thing she remembered from there was waking up in her own home on a sofa. And then her mum's then taken her up to the hospital. She didn't know what, but she believed that something sexual had happened to her because she was receiving messages saying that things had happened to her.
A text message reading, drugged you, fucked you, mugged you, left you, laughed at you. And another reading, I got HIV. Another reads, you got AIDS, mate.
So a male was invested. He was interviewed about the offence. And he denied it. We had screenshots of the messages. He denied all knowledge of those.
Get the feds on me and I'll do it again. This time I'll make it brutal. Finish you and bury you.
Then Ellie then decided she no longer supported the prosecution and withdrew. So then the case was no further actioned.
14, half of all rape victims taking part in a police investigation changed their mind.
It can be frustrating at times, but at that moment in time, it wasn't the right time for her.
DC Ritchie ends the interview and Ellie gets up to leave. Wind turbines beyond waves breaking in a tumultuous sea. From November 2017 to May 2019.
Domestic violence deaths in the UK are at their highest level for 5 years. While both men and women are victims of violence in the home, the majority are female.
2 years later, Ellie has moved out of her family home into her own flat.
Emergency.
Sunbury Police, what's the emergency?
You walk out of a flat.
What's your name?
Ellie.
What's been happening that you want him out?
He just smacks me.
Do you need an ambulance? Ellie, has he come back in? Just answer yes or no. Ellie, if you're not able to speak, can you just press the number 5 twice? OK, Ellie, we're coming to you as an emergency, OK? Just try and stay as safe as you can.
DCI John Graham coming.
That phone call with her actually came in as a domestic incident. The injuries that she presented with were consistent with being assaulted. You can see quite clearly she's got quite a lot of bruising to her face, around the top of her cheek.
He smacked me, and then he started fighting me. So I was trying to push him out the door. Couldn't. He had a knife, he was waving it around, threatening me with it.
What's his full name?
Trengrov.
So his full name is Jordan Trengrov, yeah?
In total, Ellie reported that she'd been raped 3 times by Jordan. 2 occasions where he'd actually come to her flat and forced his way into the flat. It wasn't surprising that Ellie came back and made further allegations. You know, we're aware that victims of abuse under the age of 18, it can be 2 to 4 times more likely to report further abuse.
Ellie says in the interview, pulled my hair, pulled me into the bathroom, stripped me naked. He was beating me up with the shower head. He was hitting me. He had sex with me.
And then obviously after all this has happened, there's been quite a few messages.
Yeah.
The messages that Ellie received were key because they'd come from Jordan and in effect he was admitting the offence. He was admitting having sex with her against her will.
In the interview, an officer asks Ellie, are you feeling worried about anything? Ellie shrugs and says, just about him. In what way? He's been like I told you, I'd do it again.
He was interviewed and he was bailed. And then she reported soon after that that he'd actually gone to the flat and further assaulted her. Even though he knows he's under investigation for an incredibly serious offence, he's just continued committing those offences.
Jordan denies Ellie's allegations. The police charge him with 3 counts of rape. He is remanded in prison to await trial. On a terraced street in the coastal town, 2 women walk along. One is Caitlin. She has blonde straight hair with dark roots and is pushing a baby buggy.
I grew up in Barrow-in-Furness. A lot of people in Barrow know each other. Word travels fast pretty much in Barrow. Just a big game of Chinese whispers, so rumours can fly. Usually it's just petty rumours, but occasionally you'd come across the bad stuff. Me and Jordan lived around the similar area when I was younger. He was a nice lad, cheeky. Ellie, she was a friend of friends. She also went to the same school as me. With Ellie accusing Jordan, to me, he's not capable of doing something like that. But there was one time I went into Wetherspoons and it was when Ellie used to work there. I walked in and I was like, oh, she had a bruise under her eye. I was obviously worried, but just assumed that she just had an argument with someone at a bar and it escalated. I didn't obviously think that it was anything other than something as simple as that.
DCI John Graham Cumming.
After Jordan was remanded into custody, obviously the hope was that Ellie would be safe. However, events with Ellie suddenly just went into overdrive.
A flickering date scrolls from May to June 2019. Ellie is reported missing regularly by family and friends, each time she is located by the police.
She openly talked to us. She painted a very difficult childhood. She talked about not having a very good relationship with her family.
My mum and my dad, they split up. My dad, don't really see much of him. And my stepdad and my mum, I don't get along with them. I moved out because I was sick of it.
Images of cuts and bruises.
At the time, Ellie was reported missing. She had bruising or she was under the influence of drugs or drink, and there was some significant concerns about her.
I remember that there was an occasion she came into the police station and she had grass almost like carved into the back of her leg, like at the back of her thigh. It was, we need to do something to help this girl. What is going on?
A police interview. Right, so the cameras are recording us, Ellie. June rolls to July 2019.
So, what are we coming to talk about today?
I was young, stupid. Was going to house parties and stuff. And then at house parties, there were older men. And I got introduced to Rami. He told me how special I was, how much he loved me, made me think that I was his girlfriend for a long, long time.
She named a local man, Mohammed Ramzan, goes by the name of Mo Rami, who's a local Asian businessman.
A dark car drives past a cream building.
He asked me
to do a favour. Rami begged me to go have sex with one of his friends. Said that I'd be doing him a massive favour. So I did.
And then
he said it wouldn't happen again.
It was just
a one-off. But then it wasn't a one-off. It started getting more and more often. And then it turns out Rami was getting money whenever I was having sex with other men. And then he started taking me to parties.
Oh my God. What on earth is, you know, what are we uncovering here?
And it started being like, instead of just one or two men, it'd be loads.
Two houses
in Barrow that were all the time, and then like a couple in Rochdale and Oldham. Then it was just everywhere.
She said Mo Rami was the organiser. She said she'd met him when she was 12. Began grooming her and then making her go to these sex parties. There'd be multiple girls there, multiple men, mainly Asian, and there'd be lots of drink and drugs.
Whichever man was willing to pay the most money, you go with. They tell us they can treat us how they want because we're white trash. Every time you messed up, you'd get a beating. So if I wasn't wearing the right thing, or I hadn't made them £100 that night, you'd get punishment for it. They threaten to cave your head in, or strangle you, or suffocate you.
She was petrified of what she said was going to happen to her if they found out that she was talking to the police.
And then they'd say that we were their bitches, under their control, to do what they say. To do what we're told to do. Otherwise, they'll kill us.
At that point, you think, this is massive, and scared that this was going on and, you know, that we didn't know about it. This is potentially another Rochdale, another Rotherham.
The police move Ellie out of Barrow for her own safety.
Rochdale, Oxford, Derby, Peterborough all have had their problems with child sexual exploitation.
All the men save one are from Pakistan. Their victims are white.
Years of failures by social services and the police allowed the exploitation to continue even after it was reported by victims.
But it also exposed a litany of failings by the police, who sometimes treated the victims as criminals.
Ellie and DC Ritchie enter an interview room.
Sit this time. Okay.
Those sort of investigations, the public hear about them and they're interested about them, so you feel there's an awful lot of pressure. And then at the back of your mind, you're thinking, oh, if we get this wrong, people get hurt, or we don't get there soon enough, then, you know, then what?
Ellie says in interview, all the girls that I've wrote on there, I've been to the addresses with them, because that's how I know that they're involved.
She provides us a list of potentially 60 young girls who are being taken to these sex parties, abused, almost on a scale that's never been heard of before.
She's been involved in it for ages, but like, she moves between Barrow and Whitehaven. I don't really know her that well. She's at school.
Many of the girls on Ellie's list are verified as Barrow residents. Mohammed Ramzan is arrested and brought in for questioning.
When Mohammed was interviewed, he denied the offence. He denied really knowing Ellie. He denied being any of these places that she said she was. Denied her having anything to do with it.
After 36 hours, Mohammed Ramzan is released on bail. The police set up a major investigations team. Doug Marshall, senior investigating officer.
The story that Eleanor presented with, it isn't a common type of occurrence. However, you know, history has shown that there have been grooming gangs operating in various parts of the UK. There's been perceived, you know, police failings and apologies have been made. You know, I was very eager from the outset to ensure that this investigation was very open. It would be a very shut-off response to say, oh, it doesn't happen here, because it could happen anywhere.
Ellie is brought in for another interview.
Okay, so here's your card again.
Most recently, she reported that she'd been trafficked to the Blackpool area.
which was my starting point for investigation.
We've been getting messages all weekend to say you're getting on the train to Blackpool because you're more valuable to us there.
The fresher the incident is in her mind, the more detail she's able to provide. And it's that detail that corroborates what's happened.
She would describe locations in Blackpool.
It wasn't like a house, it was more like a row of shops.
The detail she gave was unbelievable.
Just like a little tiny hallway, orangey colours.
The fact that the carpets had been ripped off and the type of calendar it was at the top of the stairs.
Star Wars calendar.
She was drawing pictures as well. Absolutely no problem in drawing out, you know, these places. And with Ellie, it was, she's obviously been to these locations and the way she could describe it in so much detail.
Another bedroom, in the kitchen.
If we identified one location, that would give us the sort of push we needed. So the sooner we got there, the better.
DC John Robinson.
Because what you'd said was in so much detail, you're hoping for that one little bit of evidence, then that opens the whole investigation up. And that's all that was on my mind at that point.
Are you asked to go now, left?
Yes.
My brief was to drive her down to Blackpool and see where she takes us.
Body cam footage. Ellie says we went down there. An officer asks the beach bit there. Yeah, then we'd walked further along.
So I was going wherever Ellie pointed to, really.
I got in a car that pulled up along here. Whereabouts was that? Somewhere along here. Do you remember where you were outside when it stopped?
No.
It was going somewhere else before this, but I just don't know where.
I was surprised, only because it was pretty difficult to get any detail from Ellie in relation to addresses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just have a little think about where. I just don't know.
And what it ended up being was me driving around fairly aimlessly, just in the hope that something might look familiar to Ellie.
Was it on that route that you took us on, or was it somewhere else?
I don't know, comes Ellie's reply.
The only thing I would say that struck me as maybe slightly unusual, she didn't seem to have any emotion. I spent 2 days in a car with her. I don't remember her getting upset once.
DC Robinson agrees to stop driving, and the female officer tells Ellie before switching off a camera, if at any point I can always turn it back on if something jumps out, all right?
Sadly, there's no leads. That's when I first started wondering myself personally, is there any truth in this?
DC Claire Ritchie.
The discrepancies of Blackpool, that's when we first became aware that it wasn't all as it seems.
Gary Humes, lead investigator.
Ellie was classed as a high-risk missing person, which then gives us authority to do some immediate work around the movement of her mobile phone. This is a map of the North Shore area of Blackpool. And the mast it was connecting to was in this area here.
A place called Warbreck.
Officers trawled the hotels in that area and guest houses to try and see if she'd been seen anywhere near. Old-fashioned detective work, looking for any clues.
We visited well over 50 venues, hotels and bed and breakfast. We were quite deflated at that time because we hadn't found anything. And the very last one we were going to check was the Savoy Hotel. We went to the reception, asked the receptionist if anybody called Ellie Williams had booked in on the 30th of June, and she came back and said, yes, there had been. So it was a bit of a eureka moment, really, for us. She'd made a booking on booking.com 2 nights previously. She turned up at about 8:20 on the evening. So this is Ellie coming into the hotel reception area now of the Savoy Hotel. On her own, nobody else with her. She's given her room card key, which would record every time that the door is opened to that hotel room. So once she's checked into the hotel, she goes direct to her room. She stays there for about an hour, leaves the hotel, and she goes to two local shops. Again, she's on her own, browsing the shelves. According to her events, at this time she was being driven around various locations in Blackpool and being forced to have sex with different men. So as you can see there, she's at the till and she's buying some milk and a pot noodle. And she leaves and returns directly to the Savoy Hotel and goes back to her room. And the door of that hotel room is not open for another 24 hours.
It's that realisation she's a liar. And I do remember at that point thinking, God.
Disbelief, really, that someone could say something so horrific has happened to them and it hasn't.
That realisation that we had arrested two individuals, we had somebody in custody. Barrow's a relatively small community, so rumours started, people were already starting to talk about Mohammed Ramzan. He's still concerned that being bailed into the community, people might want to take justice into their own hands.
I feel disgusted that my name is being tarnished with something like that. I'm an innocent man being persecuted. For how can somebody go to this degree of lying?
Voice of Mohammed Ramzan. 2 weeks after alleging she was groomed, Ellie herself is now a suspect. July 2019. Police have been gathering information about the girls Ellie has named.
I was part of an inquiry team that went out door to door to speak to these girls, and we didn't find one being victims of Asian grooming gangs. It's horrendous. You know, some of these girls have now been in trouble with the police, you know, they're quite shocked. And not only them, it's the parents. You're always going to wonder as a parent, well, you know, has something happened to them? That has its own negative, huge impact on that family. Just the fact that we visited them.
Why do you think Ellie's lies were so compelling?
Well, I think she'd obviously researched previous grooming gang cases, high-profile ones, ones that had been subject of documentaries, ones that had been subject of police failures in the past, and wove a narrative around that.
What I can clearly see on this is an evolution. You've got an awful allegation in 2017, a much worse allegation in 2019, and then weeks later, boom, it properly snowballs into a massive, multi-handed, organised crime group. What are the next lies going to be? I'm not sure how big it can get or how bad it can get, but it has to stop.
The decision had been made that Ellie was going to be arrested for perverting the course of justice, but before we could take any action, she went missing again.
DCI John Graham Cumming. 12 hours after Ellie is reported missing, the police locate her. She has more trafficking allegations to make against new men.
I was getting messages
how I've got to get the train to Preston. So I walked up through Preston town centre and Ollie was there. He walked me through this back street to two Asian men who both paid Ollie to have sex with me. When I got back to Barrow, Salza picked me up in a car and dropped me off outside mine. And then he came in, followed by another man, and I had sex with both of them. He smacked me twice in my face. He walked out and slammed the door.
About 10 minutes later,
the police knocked at the door. Body cam footage of Ellie opening her door with her face bruised and blood trickling from her mouth.
You all right?
She stumbles into the lounge.
What's going on? Okay, have you taken something? Sit down for me. Sit down.
Ellie flops onto a sofa. She's wearing a tight, short, black, off-the-shoulder dress.
Ellie? What's happened? What have you had?
There are two other officers in the room.
Your lips sore? I can see. I'll help you. She'll get you an ambulance.
Drowsy, Ellie shakes her head.
She's obviously a really troubled girl, and in that respect, I feel really sorry for her. When it was all going on, it was, is it a really vivid dream that she, you know, she genuinely thinks has happened? Is she unwell? That there's got to be something there.
Do you know what you've taken at all?
Hmm?
I don't know.
You can remember, can't you?
Alcohol?
Yeah.
Weed?
Space.
The biggest question was, why is she doing this, and is it because something else is going on in parallel? Every single allegation she made, we still investigated, because there might have been some truth in some of this, and it was really important that if there was, we found it.
I had sex.
You had sex?
With Ollie.
Right.
In Preston, in a back street. Right.
An important thing to remember about this particular inquiry is that Miss Williams was an adult. On a number of occasions, she'd had a basic mental health assessment, which showed that she held capacity. That made it really difficult for the team of investigators because, you know, we couldn't force her to do anything. If she wanted to go away and go missing, she could, and she did.
Ellie asks, I'm not going to get arrested, am I?
I haven't arrested you yet, have I?
I don't know. Might do. You might not believe me.
I believe you.
Ellie was lying on a hospital bed. Police find CCTV of Ellie in Preston.
We started off from Preston railway station. You can see her alighting the train at Preston. You can see her here. Clearly walking. Her version of events is that she's away to meet a man, pre-arranged meet. Goes on to account where she's met this man, she's trafficked two Asian men, brutally raped, and then sexually assaulted by the man who she meets.
I was given the task of tracing this young man, so I went to where he was working, had a conversation with him, which led to me at that point getting a statement from him. Ordinarily, that's not the way you deal with a rape suspect, but that's what I was directed to do, because at that point the investigation was very much steered towards this girl's lying. All I wanted from him at that point was an account of his movements.
Preston City Centre, and as you can see, this gentleman here is actually walking on his own. He's asking people for a light of a cigarette, and you can see Ellie Williams here. It's clearly a chance meeting. There's no arrangements whatsoever, and he's purely and simply asking her for a light of his cigarette. They engage in a little bit of chat, but once he gets a light of his cigarette, he appears to walk off, but is closely followed by Ellie, who seems to want to continue the conversation. So is this Ellie starting her planning now? All intents and purposes, is she grooming him to form part of her story? So you can clearly see here that they're walking happily together, sort of, he's got his arm round her. They voluntarily go up a lane where there's a consensual sexual encounter, only for a few minutes. They've swapped telephone numbers, and this is her now returning onto the main street.
It wasn't lucky, was it? Just so happened it could have been another young girl that liked him, he liked her, normal encounter. But it just so happened it was this particular troubled young girl that he met.
DC John Robinson. Gary Humes, lead investigator.
So this is quite interesting. This is her entering the toilet of a Preston railway station. She's actually looks as though she's doing something to her left eye. Is she spreading some makeup on her eye to make it look as though it's bruised?
A message. Get me added on Snapchat.
On the phone records, he's obviously thinking, oh God, I've met somebody I like, and he's now contacting her because I've swapped numbers.
I want to see you, Tomoz, Butte.
It's hard to understand, you know, why somebody would go to those lengths and what the motivation would be, other than a desperation to be believed. And she had a desperation to be believed and still carry on with the lies and have no kind of empathy for human feelings. The victim, when he found out the magnitude of the case and that he was actually accused of raping this girl and involved in some sort of big organised crime group, it was life-changing for him. It affected his mental health. He couldn't work. The downturn corresponded with when these allegations were made against him. So the downturn in his life were because of Ellie Williams.
This is her now returning back to Barrow. Now, Ellie's account is when she returns to Barrow, she's met by two Asian men, where she's picked up and she's taken back to her flat where she's again brutally raped. This is Ellie here, again, walking alone, no other person near her. This is when the girlfriend of her brother sees her walking. She stops the car and returns her to her flat. Quite rightly, the brother's notified the police to say she's back. And this is when the police went round 20 minutes later. When she was picked up, she had no injuries on her whatsoever. So this has happened in a 20-minute period. Significant injuries to the face and bruising to her body and legs.
We didn't have a boyfriend or a partner or family members who could have been responsible for any of those injuries. So it's almost like, well, there's no other plausible explanation for her receiving those injuries apart from the self-inflicted. But then that in itself was really difficult for people to accept, that she'd go to those lengths to injure herself.
From police body cam footage in Ellie's flat, to daytime in a business area.
Okay, this is an audio recorded interview being conducted at Barra Police Station.
Ellie is arrested for perverting the course of justice and interviewed.
Okay, these are pictures that are taken from the CCTV at the Savoy Hotel. How'd you come for that?
Can't explain.
What we've ended up with is information that contradicts your version of events. Do you understand how serious this is?
I do. I feel bad for lying. I am really, really sorry for it. But I haven't felt safe enough. They basically know that I've been speaking to the police and they've told me to tell you certain things that would put you off the scent of Trace and them.
The difficulty is, Ellie, that you told us lies.
I know.
And if you tell us lies,
it's hard to believe the truth because lies have been said. I get it, I do get it. But I don't get these bruises for no reason, you know.
My concern is now, how did you get those bruises?
Well, how? You tell me.
Self-inflicted.
Are you having a laugh?
People go to prison for making false allegations.
I know. I don't want to go to prison. I don't want to be that girl that cries rape. I'm not that person. I'm not that person.
And as soon as I found that she was lying about things, you know, I got things in motion very quickly. For example, with Mr. Tengrove, who was, you know, languishing in prison.
After 73 days in prison, the courts agreed to release Jordan Trengove.
I was put in the cells with an actual paedophile. He told me he was guilty and stuff, and I asked for a cell change. They wouldn't change my cell. Once something's said in Barrow, because it's such just a small town, that's it. It's stuck with you for the rest of your life.
Following Ellie's arrest, police seized multiple phones in her possession.
The phone evidence was absolutely crucial. Her phone was constantly pinging. Literally, constantly pinging. She would say, look to the police, look at my phone, I'm being trafficked, look at all these messages I'm getting.
Why have they all got X's? What does that mean?
They're all involved.
Oh.
It was clear from the evidence we got from her mobile phones that she was in fact grooming men herself. So she would meet these men on adult websites. She would encourage contact over a period of time.
that contact over that time would become a little bit more explicit. She would then change the names in her phone. She would change the name to Rami, important to be Mohammed Ramzan. The majority of the messages was communication via the app Snapchat. Snapchat is American, so sometimes there is a reluctance for them to assist law enforcement in this country. But there was a policy change in late 2019 from Snapchat, which really benefited our investigation, in that they would provide information in and around serious sexual offences. The significant thing in the investigation was she would create false Snapchat accounts, and she actually created the Snapchat account name JTrengy7, purported to be for Jordan Trengrove, wrote the messages herself and sent them to herself, incriminating Jordan Trengrove into an admission that he had in fact raped her.
A golden sun setting behind distant clouds. Police find evidence showing Ellie has lied about every allegation she has made. She is charged with perverting the course of justice. The date of November 2019 scrolls on to May 2020. Ellie's bail conditions require her to live under strict curfew.
We got a call from Miss Williams' mother to say that she hadn't returned for a 7 p.m. curfew, and in fact that she'd gone missing.
As we've done every time, that sort of high-risk missing person process kicks into place, and we're attempting to locate her.
A dog walker has reported a woman in a field near Ellie's home. At dusk, body cam footage of officers with torches approaching a figure by a gate in the field.
Stop and chat, what's going on? What's happened there?
Nothing. I just need to go home. I'm late home. I need to go home.
Do you want to come to our van with us, mate?
Come
on, van's on the road. You keep looking. Is someone back there? Because you're looking behind as if you're worried someone's there.
No, I'm just...
Don't feel like you're being totally honest with me.
I should have been home for 7.
Yeah, we know about your court conditions.
It shouldn't have happened.
Ellie's led from the field to a gateway.
Come and have a sit in here. We'll have a chat. Where are you bleeding from there?
My finger.
Has that happened with a sharp, a knife?
Say nothing to no one about anything.
So the officers are trying to get information from her as to what happened.
So there was someone there. Have they left before we saw you?
Yeah.
She said that she was picked up in a car and she was taken to a house in Barrow City Centre. Inside the property, she alleges there was 10 Asian men and she was brutally raped inside that address.
Just an update for level of injury. Her right eye is completely swollen over.
The injuries were more serious than previous times. Very nasty, bruising to her face. A lot of swelling. Her eye was all closed up, as if she'd been punched or kicked or hit with something. But she had a nasty laceration to her finger as well.
Miss Williams was taken to hospital, where she stayed until the next day.
Doug Marshall, Senior Investigating Officer. Officers search the field. They find a hammer covered in blood. Gary Humes, lead investigator.
This is the hammer that we recovered from the field. The hammer was examined for DNA, and there was only one piece of DNA on that hammer, and that was Ellie Williams.
An image of Ellie's bruised face. Her left eye has swollen shut. A Home Office pathologist has produced a report about Ellie's injuries.
The injuries identified to this young woman's body are consistent with this woman striking herself a multiplicity of times with a hammer to the head, the face, both legs, arms, and front of lower abdomen.
Police seize a further 8 hammers at Ellie's home address.
I don't think it would have ever stopped. My serious concern was that she was going to end up killing herself or come to some serious harm, significant harm.
It's all to add some reality to her story. And I personally believe that this was because she thought the police weren't listening to her stories, so she was going to make things more extreme.
So for her safety, in light of the fact that, you know, the inquiries we'd already made suggested that she'd not been abducted, so the decision was made to arrest her.
Ellie's mum asks officers...
Yeah, that's fine. Are you arresting her? Because of the bail conditions?
Yeah. But we'll go on have a crack with him.
Ellie's mum leads them into her lounge.
She hasn't broken the bail conditions on purpose. She didn't realise that door yet. Which is really hard.
Yeah. Hi, Ellie.
Hi,
Ed. Hi, are you alright?
Yeah,
I guess you've kind of... You can probably guess what's going to happen. If you just listen to my colleague, she's just going to have to read some off a bit of paper. All right.
All right. So you're under arrest for being in breach of your court bail in relation to charges of perverting the course of justice. So you don't have to say anything, but may arm your defence if you do not mention one question, something which you'll later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence.
I'll get arrested.
Bail. She gets things from her bedroom.
So Miss Williams was arrested. She was brought into Barrow Police Station. And in the time that we were assessing what to do with her, I then became aware that she'd put a post on Facebook.
I can remember I was sitting in my office and someone sent me a text message with a screenshot of Ellie's Facebook post. And I see the message, and you just think, oh, God.
Caitlin reads Ellie's post.
I think this is the hardest post I'm ever going to write. I didn't want to share this, but people need to know about this local and very real issue.
Just made me sick reading it.
Yesterday, I was put into the back of a car, taken to an address to have sex with three Asian men. This is local men and some are business owners.
I felt shocked and panicked. Never would I have imagined that anything like that would have been happening in Barrow.
They have broken my ribs, many bones in my face, tried to drown me, strangled me.
That's when I realised the black eye that she had was probably to do with the grooming gang. Watching all the shares go up and all the comments and the likes, I was, like, feeling happy that she was getting the, like, recognition that she deserved.
Messages of support calling for justice.
Like, I just thought how brave she was to put it on Facebook. I definitely, like, understood how she felt and I wanted to support her in every way, especially being a victim myself. As I was growing up, I was sexually assaulted. That person would say they were sorry and it wouldn't happen again, and I'd be too believing and just let it carry on. Until it got to one day in, I was 15 and I was asleep in my bed and I woke up, and that's when I found that I was being raped, and it got to the point where enough was enough. Seeing the respect for Ellie, I finally felt strong enough that I could post it on Facebook now and, like, tell my story as well.
Caitlin typing, so I'm done staying silent now.
When I posted it, I felt free and that I felt like it was what I was meant to do and that I finally found the strength. It was like a domino effect. Everyone was coming forward, telling their story to basically make her feel like she wasn't alone. The last thing we wanted to do was not believe her, because we know what it's like to not be believed, and the majority of Barrow was behind her.
Evan, takeaway owner.
I lived in Barrow over 30 years. We had a family business called the Mithali, serves Indian food. When we came to Barrow as Indians, everybody treated everybody the same way. First thing I heard about a person called Elena Williams was on the Facebook. Elena Williams was blaming the Asian community for her injuries and allegation of rape. I don't know what was going on. I was shocked and surprised. It went very viral and fast.
A Justice for Ellie private group gets over 20,000 members.
She got the attention of a lot of people, not only Barrow people, people all over Great Britain.
The elephant logo, which was the Justice for Ellie logo, you'd see the poster in windows and bumper stickers on the cars. It was everywhere. I'd feel like dead happy when I'd walk around the streets and I'd see that person believes Ellie, so I'd feel safe around that person.
I'm Barrow born and bred, and it's a really caring community. This crowdfund page is set up. Within days, it was up to over £20,000. I had family members donate into it, and I'm seeing it going on, and I'm thinking, crazy. And you know the truth, but can't say anything.
People on Facebook had mentioned Mithali restaurant. It's like, oh, they were all working together.
After a couple of weeks, it's turned into a hatred of race.
Posts about Muslim or drug gangs, scumbags, and the need to get tough.
Phone calls were coming. They were saying very, very nasty things. Nonce, paedophile, death threats were coming. They were literally coming down this road, honking their horns. People were spitting in the window. Disgusting animals and people throwing things. Window was broken. You know, one of the staff left the town because he was feared of his life, and so he ran away from Barrow. I didn't do anything wrong, but sometimes you go, what did I do to deserve it?
Over 150 crimes are reported to police linked to Ellie's post, including 83 hate crimes.
I'm not sure you know who he is, but Tommy Robinson got hold of the story and came to Barrow.
Had you heard of these gangs operating? Because it's just a big corrupt system, it's a cover-up.
Your leading police officer has come out and said that there's no Asian grooming gang in this town.
I know there is.
In this particular time that we live in, people are very quick, you know, to jump onto a story without knowing the full facts.
And people were meeting up in March nationally. They fully were on board, having seen the pictures.
Look at the photos of Ellie Williams, smashed up and battered.
Believing, obviously, what you said, and why wouldn't they? Because none of the detail that the police knew could be disclosed, because that then would affect a trial.
To show that we're absolutely disgusted at the treatment of this young girl.
A truck passing over a bridge in twilight. The date, August 2020, scrolls on to March 2023.
A 22-year-old woman is to be sentenced for perverting the course of justice after making false rape allegations, which rocked her hometown of Barrow-in-Furness.
After a 10-week trial, Ellie Williams is convicted of 9 counts of perverting the course of justice.
The sentencing was very public and dramatic because it was beamed live on Sky TV. Particularly with sexual cases, what you don't want is to discourage genuine victims from coming forward. And I would not want this case, which is totally unique, to put them off.
The Crown were able to prove that the allegations were a complete fiction. She has gone to extraordinary lengths. The jury and I saw body-worn footage. It's clear that the defendant was play-acting, pretending to be semi-conscious. She was injured, but the clear evidence was that she had inflicted the injuries upon herself. When she blamed Asian and Pakistani men, she regarded the prospects of being believed as greater if she based them on true cases already within the public consciousness. We are aware that sex trafficking of young females does occur. There is a risk that genuine victims will, as a result of this defendant's actions, feel deterred from reporting it. Of course, I've considered whether the aberrant nature of these offences means that I should assume that the defendant is suffering from some mental impairment. I've received much psychiatric evidence in this case, but there is no explanation for why the defendant would commit these offences. It is troubling to say the least that she shows no significant sign of remorse, even continuing to profess the truth of her allegations.
Just can't wrap my head around it. Like, how could she inflict those injuries on herself? And what would she gain from ruining, like, innocent men's lives?
Ellie Williams is sentenced to 8.5 years in prison. Jordan Trengove and Mohammed Ramzan give statements to press outside the courthouse.
I don't think the sentence is long enough, in my opinion, for what she's done to us all. Well, I've tried ending my life over it. I've had a bond with my son. I've not been able to leave the house. I've not been able to go to work.
All I say is there's no winners here today. I feel no sense of triumph, only sadness. I'm not sure how my family and I are going to recover from this. The mud sticks, and I fear it may take some time.
I don't think Barrow will forgive Ellie for what she's done. It's like there's still salt in a wound. People like me are ashamed and embarrassed for supporting Ellie and then finding out that it was all fake. She's not really given anyone a reason why. So everyone's just kind of stuck in the dark trying to figure out why.
Details of organisations offering information and support with racism, sexual abuse or feelings of despair are available on the Action Line page of the BBC website.